Please be seated. A priest friend of mine posted on Facebook recently a conversation that he had had in a hospital during a pastoral visit. He was dressed appropriately in his black shirt and white collar when a woman randomly walked up to him and asked him if he was a Catholic priest. And frankly, that happens to all of us clergy type pretty often when in uniform. And my friend explained that he was an Episcopal priest. And the woman evidently didn't know much about the Episcopal Church and asked, "Episcopal? I'm not familiar with them. Do they believe in Christmas?" "Yes, ma'am," my friend replied, "just not until December 25th. You got to love our tradition, don't you? We've survived another Black Friday. Bell ringers are already perched outside the malls. Advertisers are shifting into high gear. Trees are being trimmed. Lights hung. Cards prepared. Party schedules coordinated. And all the while, our church says, maybe this is a good time to think about the world falling apart. We're not trying to be depressing or undermine the spirit of the season. Instead, we're merely beginning Advent. This season of Advent begins not with a backward-looking remembrance of circumstances surrounding Jesus' birth, but with eerie images of cosmic chaos and grand promises of a future in which Jesus plays, to put it mildly, a pretty sizable role. Don't wear those tacky Christmas sweaters just yet. After today's reading, running shoes and a hazmat suit might capture the mood better. Doom, gloom, falling stars, shaking heavens, and all the rest. Fa-la-la-la-la. But the truth is, Advent is about preparing and waiting. It's not about looking outward and ahead. It is about looking outward and ahead. It's a time when we Christians declare God's previous incursion into human existence through Jesus Christ is simply not the end of the story. And typically we begin this time with a reminder that life is short. And whether it's Harold Camping last year predicting that Jesus would return on May 21st, and when that failed to happen on October 21st, or a generation ago with Hal Lindsey, or Y2K, or even the Mayan calendar that we have to deal with next year. Speculation about the end of the world has always been rampant. So many have predicted the end of time with such fanfare and failure that such predictions have become a laughingstock. But you know what? They're right. Maybe not about the timing, but the promise of Scripture is that Christ will return, that God will bring the creation he fashioned to a good end, and that everything we tend to think of as permanent is more fragile, more vulnerable than we'd like to think. Deep down inside, I guess we suspect this, we know this, whether it's falling leaves in autumn or the death of a dear friend or an illness that takes longer to recover from, or reports of global warming, there are moments when awareness of just how fragile life is penetrates our comfortable denial. So, what would you do? What would you do if the world were going to end tomorrow? It's a nice question to start the holiday season with, don't you think? Would you reconcile with a long-lost friend or a family member? Would you finish a project that you started long ago? Would you tell your children or maybe your parents that you love them one last time? Would you have a long and tender group hug when the Thanksgiving dishes were put away? Would you have that extra piece of pecan pie that you denied yourself? What would you do? And I really think that asking and answering that question is good for us. It's a way of clarifying our values and sharpening our priorities, and it's a good question to ask. as we make that headlong dash from Thanksgiving to Christmas. I think part of the reason why is that we get caught up, so caught up, in the cultural pressure to have that perfect Christmas that we lose a sense not only of what Christmas is supposed to mean, but we also lose a little bit of a sense of ourselves in the process. And here is where a good preacher is supposed to insert some rant about the true meaning of Christmas. But I'm not really so interested in doing that. Partly because I love this season, even some of the more secular parts of it. But you know, amid all the planning and the preparing of this season, the parties, the shopping, the cards, the cooking, amidst all this craziness that most of us simultaneously love and dread, maybe the value of Advent is that space that we're called to, that space to be still, to experience just a bit of quiet, and reminded that while Christ will come again, his coming will be in love, not in fear. A love for his beloved children. And as part of that, I guess we can read today's gospel as a call to constant vigilance, to look out for the Lord, but I think there's something else there as well. It's been said that Martin Luther was once asked what he would do if the world were to end tomorrow. His response, I'd plant a tree today. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference from just waiting and watching? It's the idea that we are confident enough of God's love and sure enough of God's promises for the future that we're not only willing but eager to invest in the present, in the everyday, in the ordinary. In fact, to invest in the very people around us. It's a call to, with God's help, continue while we wait in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in the prayers to persevere in resisting evil and whenever we fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord, to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve God, Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. And if all that sounds familiar, it's because those are the very vows that we'll make together at the 10:30 service as we baptize Abigail, Alex, and Avery Catron into the community of faith. The call of Advent is not merely to stare into the heavens in fearful acknowledgement that it's all going to come to an end. Call of Advent is that in time God will indeed draw all of his creation not just to an end but to a very good end. And in the meantime, we're called to live. Not only to live, but to truly live. To live in a way that lives best spent are lives in which our baptismal vows matter. And that how we help others live those vows is really what makes life worth living. Maybe the world will come to an end tomorrow. If so, what would you do today? The call of Advent is that you don't need to wait. You can do those things now, today, the moment we renew our baptismal vows. We can love the ones we want to love now. We can finish the work we've started. We can be reconciled to those who need us. We can be faithful to those around us. We can undertake some small and wonderful and great endeavor. And yes, we can even have that extra piece of pecan pie. Because the call of Advent is not about passive patience and watchfulness, but instead actively training our eyes on where Christ might be today, right now. And why not? Because in doing so, that is perhaps the greatest Christmas gift we could give ourselves and those around us. For Christ has come. Christ is coming. And Christ will come again, and all in the name of love. God love you, and have a very merry Advent. Amen.
Amen.